Well, as you know, Deb and I were on vacation, and we do thank you for your prayers for a safe, relaxing, and enjoyable trip. Between our five children, three of them are in the States, and two of them have decided to spend some time living in Prague. So we save regularly out of every paycheck for 3 years, and every 3 years we go over, which means that to make the trip to see them requires a plane ride. Some of you enjoy plane rides. I don't. But it is necessary to see family. Kind of reminds me of the story of a plane, a four-engine jet plane going across to the other side of the world, and they're flying about a half an hour, and they feel a bump. The pilot comes on and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we hate to tell you this, but we've lost one engine, but we're fine. We can easily travel on three engines. We'll just arrive like a half hour later. It just slows us down a little bit." About a half hour later, another bump. "Ladies and gentlemen, we've lost a second engine, but we're fine. It's designed to fly with only two engines. We'll be fine." It'll another half hour later, would be about an hour late now. About a half hour later, boom. Pilot comes on, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost a third engine, but we can fly with one engine. But we'll be about an hour and a half late now." One lady said, "If this keeps up, we lose another engine, we'll be up here all day." But on this trip, instead of flying straight to Prague, we found out it would be actually almost half the price to fly first to Paris. And we'd never been to Paris, so we thought we would go there. And we added some new spots, and we flew first to Paris. And I was a little bit disappointed. I thought the Eiffel Tower was bigger. I'll show you a picture of it. See, it's just not that big. I was a little disappointed in that. But it was a beautiful area and nice people. And then we went to Holland, where the beautiful tulips and flowers were in full bloom, and acres of beautiful flowers. I even found a rose among the flowers. See the rose right in the middle of that one right there in the flowers? My dear wife, Deb. It's really something, because they're very disciplined in planting some of these beds. I mean, they want either a certain mixture or they want a pure color. And I love this one bed. Please show them. Do you see in the middle of that bed? I love that yellow-orange flower all in its glory saying, "Be yourself, stand out in the crowd. I am different than all the rest of them." I kind of like that one. And then we went on to Prague. And you've probably seen some pictures before. Prague is a city filled with castles and cathedrals and large stone and cement apartment buildings and cobblestone streets and shops and restaurants. And yes, it was nice to be away for a time of rest and recreation, as they call it. But I want to share with you something. On our first day of our vacation, Deb showed me a new phone app. Now, I think all of your phones would have this app, and if the camera can come close on this, I'd like to share something with you here. If you take it, and you, can the camera get this? Is the camera getting this, trying to get this phone? Working on it? I'm holding it up. We even did a test on this earlier. Can we get it? Can we switch it? I want to show you this app. Deb showed this to me. It's called a vacation app. Well, if we can or can't get it, you think we'll get it? No. I'll show it to you. You can probably see this a little bit. If you take the top button and you push it down, it comes to a screen that looks like that. Have you seen that screen? If you take your finger and you do that, did you see that? If you take it and you strike across, your vacation has begun. You have turned off your phone. That's the vacation app. That's an adorable app. Try it sometime. You'll enjoy the vacation part of it. That's a special vacation. Because there is too much going on in our lives. Amen? Too much going on in our world, in our lives, in our minds. Every day of the year, we can't keep taking it in and taking it in and taking it in. You need some peace. You need some rest. Your life is too full. It's too frantic. We were not designed to have this thing in our pockets buzzing and buzzing and buzzing all the time. Have you ever seen a dog with a shock collar? You hit a button and that's kind of like what this thing is in our pockets or wherever it is. It kind of keeps alerting us about somebody said something, somebody posted something, somebody did something, some news flash came across, and we are tied to this thing and we're buzzed and buzzed and buzzed. And I think it's a devil's shock collar, so we won't get any rest. What hope is there for us if we won't take some rest? In Matthew 11, 23, Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to me, all of you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Jesus invites us every moment of every day, whether it's a Memorial Day or whether it's a vacation, to come to him. Take that burden before him, and he'll give you rest. And Jesus even taught by example and practice the importance of resting. In Mark 6, this is a section right before Jesus is going to feed 5,000 people that are hungry. It talks about how it says in 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. For many were coming and going, they had no leisure time even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves." Even Jesus modeled this with his disciples. I hope you will plan some rest and restoration this summer. I say that because I see how hard so many of you serve here at Pathways Church. And I know that as we continue to develop and grow as a church, there will be a lot more challenges ahead, changes ahead, work ahead, and ministry ahead. Let me give you a really piece of good news. Your personnel committee and staff have been looking for a new youth pastor. We put out the word, and we had a broad net, obviously, because we brought in 54 applications from all around the world. And your personnel committee have worked with talking to them, have responded to them. They have sent things in, and it's dwindled down to 4, 3, 2, and 1. And we have a candidate we're going to present to you in 2 weeks. We're going to present them in the worship service, and we're going to then, after the church service, we're going to have you have a congregational affirmation of this person to be called as a youth pastor. And the next week, that'll be the 10th, and on the 17th, we're going to have a little reception after church to, should you affirm that, to receive them, to welcome them to the church. All God's people say, amen. That's all been going on behind the scenes, a lot of work, and we're getting focused down on that. So that's another wonderful thing, and it's going to be time to get this person assimilated and going and growing and going into it, and we'll actually be able to save the life of Pastor Paula, who's been our youth worker all along. Amen. But you know her, she'll make sure it's a smooth transition and she'll still do her part. But I deeply appreciate all of your work, all of your dedication, how you work hard here all week in and out. Because of that, I challenge you to take some time to rest and recreate. I was told that there's the Chinese word for busy is kind of a pictograph that has two characters. One is a heart, and one is a character of killing. Meaning, if you're too busy, you're killing your own heart. That's what it means to be too busy. God knows the human bodies he created with us. That's why when the seventh day, he didn't have to rest. He created a day of rest for us to worship, to rest, to be together, to be rejuvenated. Even Jesus himself in the physical body recharged himself, as we saw in this passage, spiritually, physically, emotionally, and that's an example for us to follow. There's an ancient Greek quote that says something like this: if you keep, you know, like a bow and arrow, if you keep a bow always bent, it will break eventually. But if every now and then you let it go slack, it'll be always ready and taut when you need to bend it again. You need that time of letting off the string, of relaxing. You need some time to rest. Get some rest. Turn to the person on your right and say, "Get some rest." Now on your left, get some rest. Please do. You will find I'm one of those pastors that will say to you, when you tell me about Lord has led you to a new house, a new car, or to take a trip, I will say, that's just wonderful. As long as you don't avoid here when you're back. So I want you to have that time of rest, but let me also challenge you in this. Get your rest, but also be ready. As you look at that Mark 6 passage, you'll see something that happened. It says the apostles gathered around Jesus, told him all that they had done and taught. He said, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves, rest a while. For many were coming and going. They had no leisure time to eat. They went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. It continues. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As they went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were sheep, like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Do you hear the two tensions? Yes, you need some time to come away to a deserted place all by yourselves to rest, but then you don't lay down your compassion for those around you that may not know Jesus yet or they need Jesus. Yes, get some rest, but also be ready to be God's person, God's light, God's ambassador, God's witness, no matter where you are. When you're on vacation, you do not take a vacation away from being a follower of Jesus Christ or a witness of Jesus Christ. In fact, when you're away from the busyness of your everyday life, it's a perfect time that God may use to have you shine as his light and witness in a new environment. I'd like to share a few little encounters that kind of illustrate this. In John 4, we know it as Jesus and the woman of Samaria. It says, now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard, Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his father Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. Note this, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It's about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water. Okay, Jesus is resting, but Jesus is also ready. Jesus turns to her and says, give me a drink. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. And Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. We know all about that history. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. You hear the encounter here. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us the well with his sons and his flocks drank from it? You see, she's not understanding, but he says to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. A perfect example of Jesus resting yet ready. I remember in college there was a day that was called the Help the Campus Cleanup Day, and a group of my friends and I went together, and they gave us a task of trimming bushes in the middle of a campus park area. Now, as we trimmed these bushes, we started noticing there was something behind these bushes. Underneath these bushes, the bushes had just so overgrown this, and it was a bunch of stone. No, actually, it was a monument that had in the bottom of it, that carved out of the stone, was like a little birdbath almost that would catch rainwater. And on the monument, it said the words of John 4, 13 to 14, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. Had been grown over, taken over by weeds and bushes. The campus paper took the story, took the picture, and put it on there. You never know from anywhere what kind of a witness can come at any time. Jesus knows that he was tired and resting, that there's a need around him. He was sensitive to that, and we need to be that way as well. Another encounter is in Acts 8, 26 to 40. It's called Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. It says that an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Stop there. Philip has been told to just go walk along what's called a wilderness road. He's out in the middle of nowhere. The wilderness road. It continues. "Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah." Caution, there's a casual encounter coming. So Philip's just walking along, hanging out, walking along this wilderness road as instructed, but he's, even though he's kind of in a restful mood, he's ready. Verse 29 says, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over to the chariot and join it.' So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' He replied, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him." You might be familiar with the rest of the story. Philip explains the story to him. Isaiah is speaking of the Messiah that was to come and how Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And the man came to his faith in Christ. And they actually stopped the chariot, and the new believing court official was baptized as a new follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? Read it sometime. It's a beautiful story of a casual encounter. He was resting, but he was ready. Turn to someone, please, and say, "You need some rest." And then say, "But you need to be ready." 1 Peter 3:15 to 16 says, "But in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord." In other words, if Jesus is Lord of your life, even when you're on vacation, he says, "Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence." Always be ready. Even if you're resting, be ready to share with gentleness and reverence. In Romans 10, 12 to 15, it says, "There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone. No matter where you are, no matter who you are with, you are still a follower, a light, an ambassador, a witness of and for Jesus. But it continues in 14. "How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching or telling them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent, which we always are? As is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news.'" You may not be the one to pray with every person you come into contact with to receive Christ. None of us are. Every person comes to Christ after many touches, after many encounters, after many witnessing moments with Christians. You may not be the one to pray with every person to receive Christ, but you are called to do your part, to be your part in their journey of every person you come into contact with, that you're faithful to your part in their journey to Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 3, there were, embarrassingly, Christians who were comparing and bragging as to which Christian leader led them to Jesus. "Well, Pastor Paula led me. Well, Pastor David led me. Well, Pastor Eddie, he led me." So they were comparing that. And Paul used this embarrassing event to illustrate that each Christian has a role, a part, to do their part in every Christian's journey to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:6-9, Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants, the one who waters, have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You're God's field, God's building. Again, you may not be the one to lead a person to Christ, but you are responsible for doing your part in the process. Just do your part. Remember, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one who they've not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. This truth and this responsibility has come so much more clear to Deb and me since we have had family who have moved out of the area and even to other countries. Whenever and wherever you are still to be a follower, a light, an ambassador, a witness of Jesus. There is never to be a vacation from being a follower of Jesus. You say that with me? There is never to be a vacation from being a follower of Jesus. As I mentioned in the introduction to the message, Deb and I, to keep family connections, travel every 3 years to Prague. And this year we found it more affordable to go to Paris first and then travel from there to Prague. And over the last couple of trips, we've begun to foster friendships with business acquaintances and friends of our sons who are over there. I just want to introduce you to a few little encounters. This year in Paris, we met a couple for dinner who are parents of a co-worker of one of our son's friends in Prague. They live in Paris. She's an executive, you see here on the left. And he is an art dealer, you see him on the right. Her name is Marie-Christine. His name is Neil Lam, L-A-M. Some of you in the art world, the name Lam may mean something, but it was totally new to me. His father was Wilfredo Lam, passed away in 1982. He was a Cuban artist who, due to various tragedies and influence in his life, created art that, as Neil explained to me, I would not like. You would not like my father's art. He took his phone and he showed me the artwork, and it was filled with darkness and pain and fear and anger and even voodoo. And as we talked, I found his father was also a personal friend of some unknown artist named Pablo Picasso. And there, Deb and I are sitting with an executive and this guy who knew Pablo Picasso, whose dad, if you don't know this, is a renowned Cuban artist. He actually does art shows all around the world for it, and he even has some displayed in Washington, D.C. What do you say? Well, I ask him about his dad. I ask him what caused his pain and his darkness. And I just listened. I spoke respectfully and with understanding and caring, and we talked for a couple of hours. Every now and then he tried to draw me into some political discussions, but I went back to his dad, interjecting where we could with respect, God's love through us. I wanted them to see and hear from these odd Christians from America that their Jesus loves them. No, we didn't lead them to Christ. But even though we're resting, we are trying to be ready to do our part and hopefully in their journey to Jesus. And now we have some new friends in Paris, an executive and an art dealer. This happens time and time again. Since most of our time is spent in Prague, we have been developing more relationships in Prague. Each time we meet friends of our sons over there, they come to us, since we go every 3 years, they save up 3 years' worth of religious questions for us. You see, Prague was a communist country for so many years, and even to this day, the culture is still very godless. I'm not talking about anti-God. You can say there's a lot of atheism there, but they just don't have an understanding of a God and how a God that loves them. They live without it. So for us to speak of hundreds of people gathering every Sunday to worship Jesus, to serve Jesus, to reach people in the area in the world for Jesus, it is totally outside of their frame of reference. They're used to huge churches that are now museums, and if they're used for church purposes, there's a priest and there might be 12 people. If you ask them what happens when people die here, they say, if they're religious, they call a priest. If they're not, they bury them. Pretty simple. They know little to nothing about Jesus and his love and his sacrifice. We met with some friends there. I'll just introduce them briefly to you. On the left is a gentleman named Vojta. He's from Czechoslovakia. He's a Czech, as they call him. Vojta just came back from working 3 years in China. And he just married a wife, Dujo, from Turkestan. Delightful couple. She's not in the picture. We met her later. And but she's Muslim, not practicing Muslim. And great conversations going on there. The next one, the real tall fellow on the left, second one over, is son Luke. Third one is two people, friends. He's Marek, he's Czech, and she, I can't remember her name, is from India. They're just friends who are opening a art gallery there. And then on the right next to me, my right, is son Paul. So those two opposites there are sons. And then, of course, my smiling face there. But they all ask questions all the time. In the conversation, we'll be talking about anything, and suddenly, boom, some of these questions will come up. You got to be ready, even though you're resting. And they might have it over a glass of wine, have a cigarette in their hand outside, but you got to be ready. Another picture. On the left is son Luke, and then next to him is a guy named Bad Jeff, the guy in the hat. Bad Jeff is an American who went over there to Prague because they didn't have any barbecue places. So he has a barbecue place that everybody enjoys going to, and the Czechs just love anything different than pork and dumplings. And so Bad Jeff, he has a t-shirt that says, you got to be a bad man to do a bad barbecue. And then next to him on the right is a gentleman named Brett. Brett was an American, went over to teach English. He's a banker. He's in banking over there now, has a wonderful wife and children. And he's a non-practicing Jewish gentleman, and we've struck up a really good friendship to where he's talking about coming over and visiting us here in the States and come back to the States to see us. And he also had never heard of Dave Ramsey. I fully instructed him in Dave Ramsey, and I'm going to be sending him a book. And how could a banker not know about Dave Ramsey? But just think of the levels of impact there. A guy that runs a restaurant that all the Czechs come into, and a gentleman who's a banker who married a Czech wife and has Czech children now, and they all the influences of what God could do there. Just a wonderful opportunity. I'm going to have Deb come up for a second. Just tell you about a encounter. Last time we were there, we had a little bit of an encounter in a town we went to for a couple days.
The last time that we went to Prague, we became very adventurous and got on a bus by ourselves and went 3 hours outside of Prague to visit a little town of Český Krumlov. And I had been there 6 years before and was hoping that I could remember the way back to the bed and breakfast. But before I went in the car, this time we went on a bus, and the bus dropped us in the middle of a field. Couldn't see the town, didn't know where we were going, the driver didn't speak English. There was a topographical map over to the side, but there was no red dot that says, you are here. So as I'm standing there frustrating about this, a woman came up to us and she said, you speak English. So she was frustrated about the no red dot also. And the bus driver eventually pointed. We picked up our backpacks and the three of us went off. We helped her find her hotel room and then we went on to find ours. And that night, as I was in bed, I was thinking about her. I knew she was a librarian from Australia and that her name was Anne. And when I met her, I felt this friendship between us. I'd never met her before, but I thought, wow, if she lived in Gaithersburg, we would be really good friends. And I began to pray about her. I didn't know why. I didn't know anything about her life, but I just felt like I should pray about her. And I asked God to help us meet up the next day in this town. So I told David about it in the morning, and he said, well, we'll watch out for her and see if we see her. That day, we toured the castle and did all kinds of shopping, and just before we went back up to the bed and breakfast, David wanted a cup of coffee, so we sat at a little cafe on the sidewalk, and she walked right past us. And I said, there's the lady from the bus. And so he ran over and he got her, and she came and had coffee with us. And in the Czech Republic, they don't bring your check at the end of the meal. You have to go find them. So David had left to go find somebody to pay the bill. And she turned to me and she said, I want to thank you for taking time to spend with me for a little while. She said, I've really been having a hard time. And she started to cry. And I was thinking, God, why am I here? What I knew there was a prompting from God for me to spend time with this woman, but I had no idea what it was until she said, my husband left me a year ago, and I'm going through a divorce, and I'm really lonely, and I don't think I have the strength to carry on. And I said, oh, that's it. God led me to somebody that I knew something about very well. So I looked at her, and I told her about my story, too, and we cried together. And I asked her if she was a Christian, and she said, I'd been to church years before, but she hadn't been for a long time, and she just didn't really feel a connection there. So I prayed with her, and I gave her specific things to pray for, that she would find a church, that she would find a support system. And I told her that after my divorce, I went for some therapy. I was very depressed. I suggested that she do the same thing. And she kept saying, I'm not strong enough. I'm just not strong enough. And as I sat there with her, I thought, this is one of the strongest people I've ever met. She had, in being a librarian, she had read about this little town in a book that was 10,000 miles from where she lived. She didn't speak the language. She had traveled by herself. And I said, you are strong enough. You can do this. And I will continue to pray for you and pray that God will bring people around you that will help you get through this also.
I'd like to introduce you to one more person. His name is John. John's in the green shirt. You can tell he's a character just by how he's sitting there. John is loud. He is opinionated. He is he's a computer programmer. I don't know what that means about anything, but he travels all around that part of the country doing computers and such. He is married. That next to him is his dog Calvin. And isn't this a God thing, John Calvin? Okay, anyway, I was getting a kick out of that. I don't think he even knew what I was talking about. But as a matter of fact, let me share with that. You know, I cracked a whole bunch of my corny jokes in Prague. They just don't get it. They just, I had to back off a little bit. Watch it. Anyway, John invited up to his apartment one time, and this man is in the top floor of an apartment complex, and in Prague they walk everywhere. His apartment has 133 steps. Okay, and he has to walk that dog two or three times a day, too. That's why he's in good shape like he is. Anyway, John, he's one of those, you know the person, loud, cantankerous, ornery, teasing you, pulling things at you, jabbing at you. You know, one of those people. And he put his arm up like that one time, and he said, so, preacher, when did you think you wanted to become a preacher? And then we're outside, and a table full of people. I said, well, John, I said, it all started, and I shared how people would witness to me and how I had come to know Jesus Christ and how I was walking across campus one time at West Virginia Wesleyan College and how I heard God's voice just let me know. He wanted to call me to the ministry, and it's been 40 years of just loving the Lord and blessing the Lord and wonderful church people. Now, I did this in about 15, 20 minutes. I just gave you the short version of it. And I'm just talking away, just, you know me, jabbering away. And I looked over, and his arm was down, and tears were streaming down his cheeks. And everybody went silent. He said, I really envy you that you know your purpose in life. I said, well, John, our purpose on this earth is to respond to God's love in his son, Jesus. And then our purpose is to love and serve him no matter who we are or what we do. Silence. Then somebody started talking about a little child playing in the fountain, and hopefully that seed was tossed into the ground. Well, maybe not just him, but others. Get some rest, but while you're resting, be ready. Be faithful in your part in someone else's journey to Jesus. In Matthew 9, it says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he says to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Tomorrow's Memorial Day, and it's a wonderful day to think about those who have given their lives for the protection and the freedoms of our country and our world. And there's due respect there. But there's nothing compared to the memorial of a God who sent his only Son, who willingly and lovingly gave his life for all of our sins. We pick a day and we talk about those who have served in the military, and that's rightfully so. Remember while you're resting tomorrow that there's a Savior who every day wants to be shared as good news in whatever setting you're in. On vacation, get some rest, but be ready, because God may have an appointment for you. It may be like Anne, who read a little about a little town in a book and traveled clear across to meet a Christian. It might be John or any of the others, people in your life, in your influence. You are the light of the world. You are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. You bear the not just the good news, the best news of eternity. You bear that. And whether you're with friends and neighbors or across the world or on vacation, you bear that. I shared with Pastor Paula this week about a friend of mine who's a pastor. And one time I vacationed with him and we were unloading our bags out of the trunk to get to a beach house that was right on the beach of Ocean City, Maryland. And we're unloading our bags, and he had on his car on the back bumper a clergy sticker. It said clergy, so he could park in the clergy spot at the hospital, I guess. A lady was unloading her car next to us, and she looked over, she said, "Oh, are you a pastor?" He said, "No, I'm not." Well, it was his conversation, it was his stickers, so I didn't say anything, but we walked in. I said, Why did you tell her you're not a pastor?" He said, "I'm not today. Today I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I'm not pastoring right now, so I'm not a pastor right now." I understand. You all work hard, don't you? So does all your staff. But do we ever stop being followers of Jesus? Lights of the world, ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and the bearers of the best news for eternity? No. There's never a vacation from being God's witness. Let us pray. Father, help us all, Lord, as we rest, to still be ready. And Lord, I do encourage you to, through your Spirit, to encourage the family of God here, Lord, to get some rest. We got a lot ahead of us, Lord. You have a lot ahead of us, and we want to be up to it. So Lord, let it be a time of recreation, recreation, rest, fun, laughter, at the same time, readiness for those conversations, those opportunities, those times in somebody's journey to find Jesus where we need to stand up and be faithful to do our part in their journey. We pray this, Lord, that we will get rest, but we'll be ready, and we ask for you to guide us. For we pray it in Jesus' name, as all God's people say.